Everything about all of our readings today puts us squarely in an in-between reality. Isaiah tells the people in exile in Babylon, don't keep basing what you're doing on ancient history. God is about to do a new thing. And the reason Isaiah is prodding them is that the people are stuck in between what God has done for them in the past and the new thing that God is up to. Psalm 126 that we read from a moment ago recalls that when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were back then like those who dream. Back then, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. But then the psalm also looks forward to what God will do, restoring our fortunes so that those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy, and those who go out weeping shall come home with shouts of joy. Again, the people are in between, acknowledging what God has done for them, but still expecting God's future action to save them. And Paul in Philippians, well, Paul makes it clear he has all the best credentials in the Hebrew world. But you know what he says it amounts to? He doesn't say rubbish. He said all his credentials amount to a steaming pile of scubala, to use Paul's word, which means exactly what you think it means. All of that accomplishment is not what matters, Paul says. What matters is Christ. So, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And then, finally, in the Gospel of John, Judas is stuck in an old reality when he scolds Mary over her behavior. That perfume you just poured on Jesus' feet was worth a whole year's wages. We could have used it for something better. But Jesus jumps in to defend Mary by pointing to the future. The perfume was for my burial, he says, and the day is fast approaching when I will not be with you anymore. So in all of these texts, we're sitting right in the tension between what has been and what will be. And all of these scriptures were poised right on the cusp of that transition, sitting the fence between the world we had known and what God is up to. And can we acknowledge for just a moment that these in-between spaces are always uncomfortable? The classic example is teenagers, right? We got some of those around. They aren't adults yet. They're still growing and learning and developing into who they will be. And actually, I've read lately that the brain development actually doesn't finalize until you're closer to 30, right? So they're clearly not there yet, but will be. And they're for sure not children anymore. The teenage years are in between years. And if I can generalize on my memory of those years, it's not a comfortable time, right? Maybe you all had better experiences than I did. But this discomfort is true for just about anything that we name as in-between times. Being in between jobs, in between relationships, in between clothing sizes even for that matter, is to live in an uncomfortable reality. And that's really where we find ourselves as the people of God, in an in-between, uncomfortable place. Certainly that's where we are this week in the narrative arc of John's gospel and of the season of the church. Jesus is still with the disciples, but from this point on, everything that happens moves toward the cross. And next week, when we gather for Palm Sunday, the shouts of Hosanna will so quickly turn to shouts to crucify him. Even apart, though, from the season of the church year and the scriptures we happen to have assigned for today, the whole existence of the church is about this in-between reality. Because the ministry of the church, the work that we have to do, it takes place entirely in the here and now. And that's a here and now that Jesus acknowledges has plenty of poor and suffering to take care of. It's a here and now that includes far too much sowing of tears and going out weeping. It's a here and now that is deeply flawed by the continued presence of the power of sin and death in the world. It's a here and now where we have to muck through all sorts of scubala, Paul's word again, that stinks to high heaven. But we are confident that this will not last. Because even though we're sitting the fence of the uncomfortable in-between now, we already know how the fate of the world is going to go because it has been decided already. In love, Jesus came to care for the world, and when he was killed for doing it, God did something unexpected. Jesus was raised and promises to bring him with to bring us with him through death into life. And that, friends, makes not tears, but shouts of joy our reality. Yes, we are people who acknowledge the pain of today, but we're also constantly looking for that new thing that God is doing to spring forth among us. That new thing that looks like water in the desert, laughter on our tongues, a people rejoicing. Over and over again, our gospel lesson today points to the unexpectedness of everything that God gets involved in. Lazarus, right? The dead man is no longer dead and sits at the table eating with them. That's not what you expect to see when you show up for somebody's funeral, right? That's unexpected. The fact that Mary, a woman, would anoint Jesus at all, that's unexpected in itself, even before she lets her hair down and uses it to wipe this absurd amount of perfume onto the last part of the body you'd ever anoint a living person, the feet. But Mary starts with the feet because that's where you start when you're anointing the dead. This is all very unexpected, and it's weird, right? But when God is involved, I guess we have to expect the unexpected. We have to expect to be surprised. And that surprise in this story includes that both Lazarus and Jesus are there, and for neither of them is death the end of the story. The challenge for us is to live as people who lean into this anticipation of the fulfillment of God's kingdom. The challenge for us is to claim this risen Lord and the resurrection Jesus brings us to through his death, to acknowledge that the ways of the past cannot have ultimate hold over us. Yes, we're shaped by our past, of course, but to keep ourselves in the discomfort of the in-between that leans into God's future, which for this congregation of the body of Christ means recognizing and giving thanks for the 134 years of faithful ministry that have happened so far in this place at Holly Grove, but also admitting that we can't stay stuck in the past. We have to embrace the often uncomfortable in-between moment we live in, which means we have to keep our eyes open for what God is doing and ask, to what new thing is God calling Holly Grove Lutheran Church? To what new thing is God calling me and you? Where do we need to die so that we might be raised to new life in Christ? And all of these are worthy questions, and we ask them for the sake of getting us to this one. Having been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, how will we spread the fragrance of God's love in this world? Amen.